One of my desires as a pastor is that each and every one of us would walk in God's power and plan for your life right now. God doesn't live in time and space. God is eternal. Everything in God's world is now. He doesn't have yesterday. He doesn't have tomorrow. He only has now. He sees everything. He's the beginning and the end. What does that look like in our life?
This is the Now Principle with Pastor Chris Gleason, lead pastor of Revolution, a Foursquare church that meets in Harvard Square, Cambridge, Mass. Join us today as we step into the Now Principle with Pastor Chris, where we ask the question, what will you let God do right now?
When we walk in obedience to God, He'll always have compassion, tender affection towards us. God always has an ear towards a repentant heart. If you ever find yourself in a position where you feel like whatever you're doing, however you're praying, it's just not going anywhere, your life is just in a tailspin, here's the simple equation. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. In some translations it says, you will not turn away. In other words, if we're in a place where we've been walking in disobedience, we've just been doing our own thing, God says, this is it. This is all it takes. Coming to Him and saying, God, I need you. God, I can't do it without you. When we repent and turn towards God, He will bring us back to His original plan for our life. Anytime, anywhere. You know, I'm not a very good golfer. There's a thing in golf that when you're playing with buddies, oftentimes we'd say, okay, you get one mulligan on a 9-hole course or two on 18 holes. What that means, it means a do-over. It means if I get up to the tee and I just shank it, man, it's like, phew, gone. I need to say, you know what, I'm going to take my mulligan. I'm going to take my do-over here. It's like that other shot doesn't count. In Christ, we have endless do-overs. It only takes us coming with a repentant heart and saying, God, I messed up, I need you. It continues in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 30. He says, even if you've been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your forefathers. It's another amazing part of this promise. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, it says He will always forgive you and bring you back. No matter what road you've walked down, He'll bring you back home. There is no place you can go beyond God's love and forgiveness. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite psalms. And it says that if I go up to the heights of heaven, you're there. If I go to the depths of the sea, you're there. It says, even in the darkness, you're there, because darkness is as light to you. Sometimes we can find ourselves in very dark places. And today, there's probably someone in this room, maybe several someone, you are consumed by darkness. Maybe you're struggling with depression. You're struggling with the view of your own self in this moment. And God wants you to know and to hear that in Him, there is light. There is no darkness. Because darkness to God is even light. You need to hear that. You need to receive that. That Jesus Christ said He is the light of the world. How many of you have ever been afraid of light? Anybody ever walked into a lit room and go, oh man, it just scares me. Turn the lights off. I mean, there probably are a few people, but that would be very unusual. Most people that are afraid are what? They're afraid of the dark. But what scared you in the dark, when the lights come on, they're no longer scary. I can remember even when I was younger, I might have been home alone, and you hear sounds, and every sound, you wonder what it is, somebody's breaking into the house, whatever. And the minute you'd go into that room and just flip on the light, it was no longer scary. See, understand the same thing is true in your life. The enemy lives in darkness. He wants to isolate you. He wants to keep you from anything that will bring truth and light into your life. And darkness can be pervasive. It can be overwhelming. But when the lights come on, the darkness is no longer there. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Let the light of Christ come in. Let that be broken. God has a plan for you, and nothing that you have done will keep Him from His plan. No place you've walked, no where you've been, no choices that you've made, no choices made against you
will keep you from His plan if you let Him. You know, for many years of my life, I read the Bible and thought, well, that's true for other people. I mean, I'd hear Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, the plans to prosper you and to harm you, to give you hope in the future. I go, oh, that's great for everyone else. I'd read Psalm 139 where it says, you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You, how I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'd read those words, I go,
that's really nice for other people. It wasn't until I began to understand those are the things that God said to me.
Those were the truths I needed in my life. Some of you have never looked in the mirror and said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You're like, God, you messed up. There were a lot of years, man, I was skinny, wearing glasses, made fun of by all kinds of people. I went, God, you messed up. Why couldn't I look like that? Why couldn't I be like that? Well, when I finally came to understand how God saw me, to believe that this was true for me, it's true for you, I could look in the mirror and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Not with a sign of arrogance, but with a sign of confidence. Not with a sign of cockiness, but with a sense of boldness. I am who God made me to be. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts, God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. Man, that's awesome. God has given you gifts. He's put a call on your life that's irrevocable. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. You can't get rid of it. You can run from it, but it's still true. When you stop running, it's there. God has amazing plans for each and every one of our lives. And all we have to do is to love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, and follow after Him. Verse 5, it says, He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. Listen to the last part of verse 5 of Deuteronomy 30. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. Now, some people can take these scriptures out of context and say, well, you know, God just, you know, wants you driving a Rolls Royce and living in a castle and all sort of thing. You know what? God can put you anywhere in any way He wants. I have no problem with God blessing people. But understand, that stuff doesn't matter. It's all peripheral. What matters is what Paul writes about in Ephesians, that we have every spiritual blessing that is in Christ. Because you can't put a price tag on true joy. You can't put a price tag on real peace. You can't put a price tag on unconditional love and forgiveness. Those things cannot be bought, but they're given for free when we follow Christ. Talked about the story of the prodigal son. I love the end of the story. Here's the son who messed up. I mean, he screwed up royal. He basically told his dad he wished he was dead. His dad gives him inheritance. He throws it all away. He comes back to be a servant in his dad's house. What's his dad do? His dad gives him the biggest party they'd ever seen. He kills the fatted calf. It means that's the one that's been waiting for the big reason to have a party. He celebrates because my son was lost. Now he's found. My son was dead. Now he's alive. When we turn our hearts back to God, when we turn to Him to allow Him to do whatever He wants to do in our life, God likes to show off. God likes to show off. God does stuff that just messes with us. You know, sometimes I don't even like grace. You go, wait, what do you mean? Because sometimes it doesn't make sense to me. You ever read the parable of the workers? Where it says the owner goes out in the first part of the day to get some workers to work in his field, and he tells them, hey, I'll pay you a denarii. So let's say it's $100. I'll pay you $100 for the day. They said, okay. So as he goes out a couple hours, there's some more guys waiting. He says, hey, come to work, and I'll pay you whatever's fair. He goes out a couple hours more. There's some more guys there. He says, hey, come work. And he goes out an hour before the end of the day. So imagine that. He goes out at 4 o'clock, got 1 hour to work, and he hires some more guys, and he says, hey, just come to work. He doesn't tell them anything. He just says, come to work. An hour later, at the end of the day, it's time for him to get paid. And he tells his guy that's paying him, he says, start with the ones that worked the least amount of time. They've only worked an hour. When they walk up, they don't even know what they're going to get. Guy gives him $100. Next guy gives him $100. Now, the guys that have worked all day, they're going, we are getting hooked up. I mean, look at this guy. This guy has got bank. He goes, these guys worked an hour, a full day's pay. But what happens is the next guy come through, they've worked 3 hours, they get the same. 5 hours, same. 8 hours, they get paid the same. And at the end of the story, the guy's been working all day. We go, this ain't fair. We have been slaving away all day in the hot sun. These guys work for an hour and you're giving them the same pay? And the owner looks at him and says, wait, what did I tell you I would pay you? I'm sure they didn't really want to answer that question. But they finally said, well, that I'd give you a denier. I'd give you $100. What did I pay you?
$100.
So if I choose to be generous with my money, what's it to you? That's grace. That bothers me. See, that was the mess. That was the thing with the prodigal son. The older son got all ticked off. How can you throw this big party for my younger brother who's a screw-up? He never threw me a party like this, and I've been here all the time. But see, what he says is everything I've had has always been yours. Grace doesn't make sense. That's why it's called amazing, because sometimes I don't like it. I like receiving grace, but I don't always think everybody else should get it. It says that when we turn our hearts back to God, when we obey Him, we keep His covenant, that He will make us more prosperous than our fathers. What He's saying is that your life will be blessed. I have watched this over and over in people's lives. I've seen it in my own life. People that their whole life, they just did whatever they want to do, and they turn to Jesus and they give their life over to Him, and they see God bless them in amazing ways. They walk with more love and joy than most people that have known Jesus for years. And you go, what's the difference? I think they get it. Jesus said it like this. He says, whom has been forgiven much, he loves much. See, sometimes we think, well, you know, I've lived a good life. No, you haven't. If you believe that, you're mistaken. See, this is why I don't actually like sometimes seeing grace like that. I go, wait, you're telling me the guy who's murdered a bunch of people, he's done this and that and the other thing, he goes to prison, he gives his life to Jesus right before he goes to the electric chair, and guess what? He's going to be in heaven just the same as me.
Yep.
That messes with me. But that's God's heart. That's God's heart, is that it's not based on you and me. If it was, none of us, we'd all be messed up. I mean, if I was God, Lord help us. Don't laugh, it'd be the same if it was you. And He says in verse 6, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and live. When we give ourselves to Him, when we choose to walk in obedience to His heart and His plan, it says He'll give us a new heart. He'll give us a new heart. Look at what it says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You'll live in the land I gave your forefathers and you'll be my people and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Can we trust God to shape our hearts? See, if we give God our hearts, our messed up, jacked up hearts, it says that He'll give us a new heart, a clean heart, a heart filled with His heart, a heart filled with His spirit, a heart filled with His love. Why? It says so that then we can love Him the way we want to, that we can live for Him the way that we want to. Verse 7 in Deuteronomy chapter 30 says, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. Yeah, everybody goes, yeah, amen. You mess with me, you mess with God. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, guess what? You don't have to be your own defender. You don't have to protect yourself. Do you know how much time and energy we waste protecting ourselves, defending ourselves, trying to get revenge on people that hurt us? He already promised He'd be our defender and He would be our shield. But you got to let Him. See, we've got to believe that when we walk before Him with a right heart, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that He'll keep His promise. Now, does that mean that no one will ever say anything bad about you? No. Does it mean nothing bad will ever happen to you? No. But what it does mean is that He will defend you. He will protect you. He will cover you. The last part here, Deuteronomy 38:8-10, says, you will again obey the Lord and follow all His commands that I'm giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as He delighted in your fathers. If you obey, Shema, if you hear, listen, and obey the Lord your God and keep His commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Once again, He reiterates His promise that if we will obey, if we will Shema, if we will hear, we will listen, and we will obey His law, His decrees, His covenant, that He'll make us prosperous. It says everything that your hand touches will prosper. Again, don't distort that into the things of this material world. Again, they're not good or bad. They're just stuff. It says He'll make your heart to prosper. How many of you could use some prospering in your heart? Forget about your pocketbook. And your soul will prosper. Your mind will prosper. How many of you say, amen, 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 man, I need some prospering in my mind. I was talking with somebody just when we were breaking there and saying, you know, there's a biblical truth here that there are times we don't honor God with our time, but we want Him to honor us. There are times we don't honor Him with our money and we want Him to honor us. There are times we don't honor Him in our relationships and we want Him to honor us. It's impossible. This is why. It's foundational. This is the promise of God. If, then. See, we always like, well, God, give me more money and then I'll tithe. Doesn't work that way. God, show up and then I'll trust you. Doesn't work that way. See, we walk by faith, not by sight. It doesn't take faith if you already see it. Okay, God, you put $1,000 in my hand and then I'll give you $100. God says, no, you put $100 in my hand and then I'll give you $1,000. See, there's faith in works that is involving obedience. If you will obey me, if you will hear, listen, and obey, then, it says the Lord will delight in you. He'll rejoice over you. Is that not the coolest thing? It says God will rejoice over you. If you struggle to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, which at some level we all do, okay, we get that. But I mean, if you just go, I don't even get the concept, I can't even understand, why would I do that? It starts right here. If you struggle with serving Him with everything, then let God do the work that He wants to do. Submit your heart and your life to Him. It says, and He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you new desires. See, a lot of times I like to quote that, you know, it says that God will give us the desires of our heart. God! Man, God, I desire $1,000,000. Okay, well now, is that God's desire? Because see, here's the precursor. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you will obey Him. Then. So see, what the deal is that God changes our heart. Now it's like He'll give us the desires of our heart because they're coming from His heart. When they're based in my selfishness, God can't bless that. Because the only one that it glorifies is me. Now, I'm not a potter or even close to being any kind of an artist, but I've worked with clay a few times. And even as bad as I am, whether I was making a pinch pot or I was actually working on a wheel, as bad of a potter as I am, the clay never told me what to do. I never once had the clay say, what do you think you're doing? I do not want you to work on me. Give me to somebody that'll do better. Never. But see, Scripture uses that analogy that God's the potter and we're the clay. It's the same thing that we, the clay, don't ever tell the potter what he's supposed to do. See, sometimes we're like, God, you don't get it. You're not doing the right thing here, God. Let me help you out a little bit. You know, I'm supposed to look a little bit different. I'm supposed to have a little different scenario going on in my life here. This wasn't the plan. And God said, how absurd would it be for the clay to tell the potter what it's supposed to be? Hear, listen, and obey. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. John 14:15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. In James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. This, my friends, is a foundation. And many of you are probably sitting down there and go, yeah, I know. Well, here's the interesting thing about fundamentals. We can know them. But the question is, do we do them? God encourages us, challenges us. For us to walk in the things that God has for us now, it has to start right here. I got to hear what God has to say. I've got to listen to it, and I've got to choose to walk in obedience. Why? Because then all those other things are true. God's going to change my heart. He's going to give me His heart. I'm going to be able to see things the way He sees things. I'll see people the way He sees people. I'll be able to walk in the love and the grace and the peace that God has called me to. But only if I start here. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? I think oftentimes in my life, I'm probably more like my 2.5-year-old son than I want to believe that I am. Where I think I know better, and I think I should do what I want to do and not what God asks me to do. It's a struggle. In fact, it's a daily struggle to walk in submission to God's plan and His heart. We have to choose to do it every day. But the place that it begins is we have to come and submit ourselves first to Him. If we've not ever done that, if we've never say, Jesus, I need You. I've been walking through this life doing it on my own. And quite frankly, it's not working out real well, or sometimes it seems like it is, and then I realize it's not. The first place we have to start is saying, Lord, I need You. Come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. Fill me with Your power, with Your presence, with Your love, that I can walk in obedience. Before we finish tonight, I want to ask that question. Is there anyone here that would say, you know, Chris, I've not done that. I've not submitted my life to God through Christ. I've not allowed His love to come in. I've been doing it on my own for a long time. I've never walked in obedience by submitting myself to Him. Is there anyone tonight that would raise their hand and say, yeah, Chris, I want to do that. I want to ask Jesus into my life today. I want to accept His love, what He did for me. Acknowledge that it's for this moment and for all of eternity. I've been overwhelmed by darkness and I need some light. I want the light of Christ to come in. Is there anyone tonight who would lift up their hand and say, yes, that's me. I want to make that decision. I want to let Christ in today. I want to let the power of God, I want to see the promises of God we've just been talking about, be evident in my life. Lord God, the concept is simple. To hear, to listen, to obey. But the reality often seems much more challenging. So God, even as we were challenged by James, that we would not merely be hearers of Your word, but we would do what it says. That we would show that we love You by obeying what You command. God, it's a fundamental, it's a foundational truth. It's a principle to build our life on. Lord, I pray that You would help us, God, to see the joy of walking in obedience. That in obedience is blessing. Your hair, Your care, Your hand, Your love, all the things that we desire, God, are there. But we must submit ourselves. So, Lord, I pray that You would help us to do that. God, not just in this moment, but every day, every moment of every day. That, Lord, when we come to those crossroads, be those in little places or big places, we would hear, and we would listen, and we would obey. That we may see the hand of God move in unprecedented ways in our lives. That, Lord, we may see Your kingdom come here in this place. Your will done in our lives now as it is in heaven. We pray it in Your name, Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to The Now Principle with Pastor Chris Gleason, the radio ministry of Revolution Church, where we are committed to being grounded in His Word and empowered by His Spirit. We invite you to visit us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. We meet at Lesley University's Brattle Campus in the Washburn Lounge, located at 10 Phillips Place, Cambridge, Mass. If you would like prayer or more information, call 617-441-0777 or visit hearlistenobey.com. This is a listener-supported program, and if you would like to partner with us, we invite you to go to hearlistenobey.com as we stand for God's Word and God's Spirit in Harvard Square.